morning, everybody. Praise God. You believe you're in the right place at the right time?
Yes.
Doing the right thing for the right reason?
Yes.
And getting the right result. Amen. We're going to open up with prayer this morning and get started. Father, we come before you this morning with great enthusiasm and excitement about your word. You said those that are thrilled with your word, it works for them. We just thank you today that your word is all powerful. It does not return unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. We thank you for giving the people eyes to see with, ears to hear with, what the Spirit is saying to each one to help bring them up to another level in their faith and in their believing, because you commanded us to walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you for the great and mighty Holy Spirit in here today, who is the great teacher and revealer of all truth. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to do exactly what you are great at, bringing illumination and revelation into the heart of each listener. And I ask for unction and utterance today, and opening my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have been on the series, the 3 D's, but before I get started this morning, I wanted to just remind everyone, if you have a testimony concerning healing from the Healing School, Healing Center right here, we have back there on the table a healing testimony sheet for you to write down your testimony. We would love to hear about it because we put it on the website. And also, you know, your testimony can help somebody else. Yeah. And if you're not sure about how to write your testimony, where's the team? Team, stand up. Each one of these will be glad to help you write it down and put it in words and then turn it back in. Because we believe in testimonies. Why? Well, in the 3 D's, we saw the demonized man, the demoniac. And when Jesus set him free, what did he do? He told him, go and tell what great things God has done for you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And that man's one testimony, he affected a whole area. It was in Decapolis, and we know that was 10 cities right there. So when Jesus returned back to the same place of property in that area, they were ready for him that time, and they were expecting. After they told him to get out and leave, they didn't want nothing to do with what he had done. But it changed after people heard about one man's testimony. So your testimony can make a difference. So we just encourage you, get a sheet, the team... The team will help you word it and put it down and on paper where it will be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Praise God. So we want to do some recap this morning concerning the 3 D's. Last week we got through the whole thing, but we didn't get to really go back and really focus on some things I want us to see and bring out concerning the 3 D's. So actually, we saw in Mark chapter 5, you can have your Bibles turned to Mark chapter 5 and have it open there. But we found out that Jesus defeated the 3 D's, and the 3 D's was what? Demons, disease, and death. The 3 D's. Demons, disease, and death. Jesus defeated every one of them. And it's going to be, we're going to see and have a takeaway here from what all three, each of those cases had in common. You might think, well, I don't know, Pastor Debbie, he was dealing with three different things. Yes, it was. But yet at the same time, there was something that took place in each one of those instances. And so we look back in the book of Mark, chapter 5, and it begins the account of the demonized man. And we found out that this demonized man was what? Living in the city cemetery. So he was surrounded by death. He had it all around him. But yet he obviously he heard something about Jesus. Because when he saw Jesus afar off, what happened? He ran to him. He ran to him. And we found out that he fell down at the feet of Jesus. So this man, obviously we found out he had moments in his life when he was in control of himself and his thinking. And in one of those moments when he had control of himself and his thinking, he was able to run out of the cemetery and get to where Jesus was. Whether Jesus was going right by that, how close, we don't know, but he ran to Jesus and he fell at his feet. And before he could verbalize, "I want help, I want to be free," before he could do that, the demons seized him, laid hold of him, and produced a seizure where they began to take over his voice.
Right.
So even though the man could not verbalize that he wanted help, his actions portrayed that he really wanted help from Jesus. Jesus saw the man's heart and his action. Jesus had compassion. You see, the compassion, Jesus was moved with compassion for this man that was demonized. And so we looked at and we saw the scripture where it says that in no wise, Jesus said in no wise would he turn away anyone that comes to him. Not anyone, not even a demonized man. Even though he couldn't verbalize it, Jesus saw his actions. Faith has corresponding action. And we found out that this man, Jesus began to cast it out. And he kept saying, "I command you to come out. I command you to come out. I command you to come out." And finally he said, "What is your name?" He got that by the Spirit of God. And the demon spoke up and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And we found out that that word legion means 3,000 to 6,000 demons this man had on the inside of him, had in him, that was possessing him. And so if we look at that, we think about our spiritual capacity in having the Holy Ghost who lives in us and how much more that we can hold the capacity of more of him. If this man could hold 3,000 to 6,000 demons, how much more? How much more should we have the Spirit of God so full, so full? This is why Smith Wigglesworth, he didn't take that word lightly. He stayed full of the Holy Ghost. He knew the importance of staying full. Full to what? Overflowing. Filled to spill. Overflowing. That's what we're to do. Be so full of God, so full of the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? He's the greater one who knows no weakness. He knows no defeat. Come on now.
Yeah.
He is the overcomer, the more than conqueror. He lives in you and me. He's the one that rose Jesus from the grave. Come on now. He arose from the grave. He's the one that raised Jesus' body from the grave. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus is alive and well, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power, that same anointing, glory to God. And so Jesus set this man free. And the man wanted to be with Jesus and wanted to hang out with him. He was like, "You set me free. I just want to be with you. I want to be with you." And we found out that this man had his right mind again. He was clothed and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so Jesus told him, "No, go home. Go home to your family, your own relatives and friends." Verse 19, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. "Bring back the word to them of how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you." So we found out that your testimony, how powerful it is.
Yeah.
You might not think it is, but every one of you have a testimony. And that testimony, what Pastor Chris is trying to get it in every single one of us, to have a 1 to 3 minute testimony where it becomes so powerful, you tell your story, God's story, and God gets the glory. Come on now, we got to be ready in this day and time we're living in.
Yep.
The world needs what you got. The world needs who you got. We're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the age of the miraculous. Come on now. Glory to God. He's just looking. There's so many people that don't believe out there in the world. They have no idea. But God does miracles to show his existence, to get their attention so that he can draw them in to the church so they can be discipled and learn to walk and talk with Jesus. What a day. What a glorious day. So we went from there to Jesus telling this man about how important that testimony was and told him to go home. So the man, verse 20, it says, the man left, he departed, he began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis. We know there's 10 cities, the region of the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were astonished and marveled. They were captivated by this man's testimony. Are you getting this? One man's testimony. They were captivated. Why? Because they knew this man. He had been wild, uncontrollable, untamed. They couldn't chain him no more. They couldn't control him no more. He ran wild through the city cemetery. The people knew this man, and now all of a sudden he's calm in his right mind, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. How wonderful is this? How great is this? Hallelujah. And so he told him, then in verse 21 we found out, and when Jesus had recrossed in the boat, after they told him to leave and get out of their neighborhood, out of their city, Jesus comes back to that area after he told the man, you go and tell your testimony. Now we see in 21 it says, and when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lake shore. He had just arrived at the lake shore in the boat, and before he could even get out of the boat, here's this throng of people. This large crowd of people, they are waiting for him. Yeah. They heard something that produced faith in them. What did they hear, Pastor Debbie? Well, we have Acts 10:38. It says how Jesus was anointed by God the Father, who went about doing good and healing all. Do you see yourself as one of those all? Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Woo! Glory to God. And so here we go. He can barely get out of the boat. It's a strong, great crowd of people. And it says in verse 21, and he was at the lake shore. But now verse 22, and then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet. Here we go. Here's Jairus. And now he does what? Just as soon as he comes into the presence of Jesus, he gives him worship, homage. He humbles himself. We have to look at this as something that's really, it plays a big role in our lives, is humility, in being able to humble ourselves before God. Here was a ruler of the synagogue. He was over the synagogue. He was responsible for the ministration. He was responsible for supervising the worship, maintaining the building. But this man broke all social norms and fallen at the feet of Jesus. Worship. What did we say about worship? My God, we can't worship God enough. Worship is powerful. Your praise and worship, what does it do? It creates an atmosphere for the move of God in your life. God inhabits, he lives in the praises of his people. How powerful is that? The living God, the one who saved you, who delivered you, who filled you with the Holy Ghost, he lives in you. The creator of the universe, living in us. This worship brings God on the scene. And we also found out that how powerful worship is, because not only does God inhabit the praises, He lives in our praise and our worship. I mean, that alone is awesome. But it also says in Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, that when we worship and praise God, it builds a barricade around us to keep the enemy out. It builds a barricade around us. Sometimes you're being tormented and bothered by the devil. You just need to drop on your knees, lift your hands, begin to worship and praise God. I'm telling you, the enemy, the devil won't stick around because he can't stand it. He tries to steal that worship because he still to this very day wants to be the one worshiped and praised. But only there's only one. Jesus said there's only one worthy of being worshiped and praised. Glory to God. There's only one. So that worship builds a barricade in our lives to help keep the devil out. And we found it in Psalms 8 verse 2. It silences the mouth of the enemy. When all these voices are coming at you, whether it's doubt, unbelief, fear, feelings, the voice of feelings, and they're trying to torment you, get on your knees, begin to worship and praise God, because praise and worship silences, shuts the mouth of the enemy. We need to be more aware of what has been given us, but also how to effectually use. And this is not something to make God do something. This is not, I'm going to praise and worship God because I know He's going to. No, we're doing it because of how much we love Him. He saved us and changed our lives. Hallelujah. You're not the same person. He gave you a brand new heart, a brand new start. You have a brand new life. Eternal life you get to spend with Him forever and ever and ever. Praise God. So we saw that Jairus, verse 23, he begins, after he humbles himself and prostrates himself at the feet of Jesus, he's now, verse 23, he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." So obviously he heard about Jesus being the healer. He believed he could even heal his daughter. Excuse me. Who was at the point of death. She could die any given moment. So this was a serious moment for this ruler of the synagogue. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. And a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides. Verse 25. And then here in the midst of Jesus following the ruler of the synagogue, there comes a small delay. Because now there's another woman there's a woman that has heard also about Jesus. And the Bible says right here, verse 25, there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. That was totally abnormal. And who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had, but was no better, but instead she grew worse. Here was a hopeless situation. But she also had heard something about Jesus, that he went about doing good and healing all. All, hallelujah, we got to see yourself in that all. She kept hearing about Jesus, and it produced faith, which produced an action. Because we find out that she even took a chance to get out in public, because under the Jewish law, she could have been stoned to death. And there was the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, right there on the scene, who could have had her stoned to death at that very moment when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. But here's another key we found out about this woman with the issue of blood. She touched the hem of his garment because she kept saying. So her faith produced a corresponding action, which was her saying, yep. And then her saying began to get her out of her home where she was isolated, alone, couldn't go to the synagogue, couldn't do... No, you think about that. Plus, she had grown weak from the disease that she had. So much so that we found out she was a crawler. She crawled through the crowd to get to Jesus to touch the hem. That's the bottom of his garment.
Yeah.
But we found it when she was healed, she stood upright. Oh, my gosh. For she kept saying, she heard the reports of Jesus. Verse 27, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, verse 28, she kept saying, what? If I could get to Jesus, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can get to him, I shall be. If I can get to him and touch the... Her words produced her action.
Yeah.
Verse 28, for she kept saying, I shall be restored to health, I shall be healed. Verse 29, and immediately, the moment she touched the hem of his garment, what happened? She felt the power, the virtue come out of Jesus and go into her.
Yeah.
So obviously there was a tangible presence there of the touch of that, of the healing power of God. It was tangible, perceptible to the touch. Because it wasn't just a touch like the crowds were touching him, pushing on him and... No, this was a touch of faith. There was an expectation. In fact, I like what the the 20th century says here about her. It says, this woman, the 20th century translation says, Jesus said, someone has made a demand on my ability. Woo, glory to God. Someone has made a demand on my ability. I love that. It was the woman with the issue of blood.
Yes.
She got out. Her actions, Jesus could see her actions. Oh, boy. So we know her touch of faith. She kept saying, faith gives action to the power. She did something, and it consummated her healing. Immediately, she felt power go into her, and Jesus, look at this, verse 30. Well, let's finish verse 29. And immediately, her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly, she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. There's a suddenly of God right there. And then it says in verse 30, and Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeded from him, here we go, somebody has made a demand on my ability. Woo, boy, I'm telling you, when you are in faith, the God kind of faith, there is an aggressive part of faith that's determined to get what you belongs to you, and you ain't letting up for one moment. You ain't quitting. You ain't backing up. You ain't backing down just because the crowd's here.
That's right.
She pressed through. She pressed through. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's too easy to quit.
It is.
Stop looking for the easy way out.
Oh my.
Stop. I want it easy. Look, Jesus didn't say it would be easy. He just said, believe and you shall have. Believe. It's
right.
The believing ones that possess now.
Yeah.
Faith is always now, in the now tense. I believe I have received my healing for my body or for my back or for my knees or for my skin or for my migraine headache, somebody was telling me about the other day. Come on now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When are you going to get tired of being sick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enough is enough. You got to get to that place where you've had it. You're like, enough is enough. I don't have to put up with this, allow this, permit this. I don't have to anymore. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus took it for you.
That's right.
In your place, he bore your... infirmities. He bore your diseases and sicknesses. He carried your pains away. By his stripes you are healed. You are. That's present tense right now. That's yours. So you, well, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord, Pastor Debbie. I know he's going to do something about this. He already has. 2,000 years ago, he's waiting for you to do something about this. What do you mean? Begin to put resistance back against what's trying to come against you, just like it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. Resist. Begin to resist the enemy. When you put on the whole armor of God, having done all to stand, withstand. That means to put pressure back against what's trying to come against you, what's trying to persuade you and rob you. Come on now, trying to rob you of what rightfully belongs to you. You're the healed of the Lord. You're not the sick trying to get your healing. You're the healed of the Lord, and the enemy's trying to steal your healing. But it comes down to, are you going to let him? Are you going to sit there and be passive with your faith? We can't have no passive faith where we're just sitting there waiting. I know God's going to do something passive. I know. I believe he's already done something, and I'm going to stand my ground. Stand and withstand. That's what he said. Stand. That means stand in your position of victory. Yeah. Victory is already yours. The defeat is the devil. He's the defeated one. But you got to let him know that he's been defeated already. So what do? You stand your ground. You begin to open your mouth. Why? Because the mouth is what? It is the dominion center of our lives. The speech center is the dominion center of our lives. Faith has an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude. Speaking is the action. Your mouth is very valuable to your faith. We found out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, your faith can frame your world. By your faith, you can obtain a good report. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Come on now. But Pastor Debbie, I received a bad report. I get it. But your faith can change that report.
Yes, it can.
By faith, they obtained a good report.
Good.
They had received a bad one, but by faith, they received a good one.
Good.
So faith, your faith can change your world. It can frame your world to be something that the enemy doesn't want you to think it's going to be.
Yeah.
So you begin to withstand by opening your mouth and saying, no, I refuse this pain, or I refuse this sickness, or I resist this sickness. According to the word of God, Jesus bore my diseases and sicknesses. Himself took my own. What he bore, I refuse to bear. What he carried, I will not carry. Jesus carried this for me. Pain, I'm speaking to you. Get out of my body. You have no place, no power in me. No place in me, no power over me. Get out in Jesus' name. You might have to do that for a little bit. It's all right. What are you doing? You're resisting that which does not rightfully belong to you. But you are declaring what does belong to you. Healing, wholeness, health. Health is yours. We're taught, that's part of healing school here, is learning to walk in divine health every day. That's God's highest and God's best. Does it mean it won't go unchallenged? No. But you just have to keep putting the devil back in his place. You have to keep telling sickness and disease, the power of it was broken over your life and it has no power over you.
Right.
Your body has to line up with what you believe with your heart, what you say with your mouth on a continual basis. Remember, Brother Hagin said this. He said, the supernatural swings on two hinges all the time. You'll never get away from this as long as you're living on this earth. What you believe with your heart, what you say with your mouth continually. It's a lifestyle, not just in the crisis moments. No, it's all the time you're speaking and declaring, this is who I am, this is what I have, this is what I can do in Christ. This is who I am. Who are you? The redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 107 verse 2. Somebody better say so, because if you don't say so, the enemy will make sure something else is saying so to you. You say so. You say what is so according to the word of God. The word says, I believe the word. Use your faith. Express your faith with through your words. I believe God's word. No, I don't believe that. That's a lie. Lies fail. The truth. I believe the truth of the word of God. I speak the word because I believe the word. This is what I believe is true about me. You're resisting. You're standing and you're withstanding. You're standing your ground and you're withstanding. That means putting pressure back against what's trying to get you to accept. Trying to get you to accept what doesn't belong to you. But we can't have a passive faith. We got to have what? A faith that's in action, that's aggressive.
Yep.
Say, no, you don't. No, you don't. How dare you, devil? No, I'm a child of God. No, this don't belong. This don't belong to me. I remember Brother Hagin shared a story of a woman who came, and she had stage 4 cancer and woke up every single morning in pain and crying and just crying and screaming out loud of the pain that she was in. Anyway, she got into one of his meetings and came and got up in his healing line. He laid hands on her. In fact, she was weak from the disease, so she was in a wheelchair when her husband wheeled her up in the line to be prayed for. Brother Hagin laid hands on her and prayed for her, and her husband turned around the wheelchair. She didn't get up. She didn't run around the room. She didn't circle anything. She stayed right there in the wheelchair. And she got home, her and her husband, and 10 days went by. But in those 10 days, she believed that she received her healing. Every single morning when she was in pain, she and her husband would sit at the breakfast table. She was sitting right there in the wheelchair. Still nothing looked different. Nothing felt different. She was still just as incapable before she had hands laid on her as she was after she had hands laid on her. Couldn't move, couldn't walk. Every morning at the breakfast table, they would take time to praise and thank God for her healing. Even though it didn't look different, any different, didn't feel any different, every morning they took time to stop at the breakfast table and praise and thank God for her healing. 10 days went by. Would you have given up before the 10 days went by? Say, oh boy, this didn't work. I missed it somewhere. Lord, what did I do? No. 10 days, she believed she received. She kept the switch of faith turned on. She didn't talk about how it felt, how it looked. Oh my, so many times we get caught in that trap. We begin to talk about the sickness instead of talking to the sickness.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say talk about the sickness and all the symptoms and go online and look up everything that it's going. No! Stay away from that. That's producing doubt, fear, and unbelief. So here she is. The 10th morning, she wakes up totally pain-free. No pain. She waits a few days, goes back to the doctor, they totally proclaim her cancer free. 10 days. Praise and worship. She kept praising and worshiping God in those 10 days. That's like 2 weeks almost. Thanking him because she believed she received. She released her faith when the moment when hands were laid on her, even though things didn't look any different or feel any different. She didn't care. Obviously, her faith was in. The man of God laid hands on me. I believed I received my healing, and that's what's work. The healing power of God. Here's another good one to say. The healing power of God is at work in my body, not the sickness and disease. Yeah. That's not what's working in your body. Oh, Pastor Debbie, the report said that it's spreading. What is spreading? Is it your faith? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That has no power to spread in your body if you're the one that's in faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. You call it dead and say it cannot spread.
Yes.
Speak to it. Dead, it cannot spread. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the woman with the issue of blood, she kept saying. She felt power go into her. Jesus felt power go out of him. And he asked, who did this? And those, his disciples are like, my goodness, Master, people are pressing on you every second, and you're asking who touched you? He says, yeah, because there's a different touch, a touch of faith. So the woman come out of the crowd, and she's obviously she was standing up because it says right here, verse 33, Mark chapter 5, verse 33, but the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, she fell down before him. Oh, here you go. So she got healed. She was up and standing on her feet, buddy.
Yes.
Woo! New strength,
yes.
Invigorated. She felt revived. Oh, come on now. But now she falls down at Jesus' feet, and she begins to what? Tell everything that happened to her. She publicly tells. There's something about publicly telling what happens to you when Jesus touches your life. Jesus touched her. She was healed. What did he tell her in verse 34? Daughter, your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Glory to God. So now she's got peace where she'd been tormented, isolated, hopeless situation, broke, lost everything she had, paid everything she had to the physicians, got worse. But Jesus says she's been restored. So all this is taking place, and here's Jairus that came to Jesus just a moment when he stepped out of the boat on this lake shore. Y'all didn't forget that, right? As soon as he steps out of the boat on the lakeshore, Jairus is right there to say, I got a daughter that's near death, and I need you to come right away and pray for her, and I know she'll live. So Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, could have given up because this woman had Jesus' attention for quite a while, we see here, and then she publicly acknowledges and says what happens to her. He could have said, you know what? Is a delay, and I don't want to bother Jesus anymore, so I'm just going to turn around and go back home. But he didn't. He didn't turn around and go back home. Even though there was a delay, do you see how there's a determination in these people's faith?
Yep.
He had to wait. And you can imagine the thoughts that might have been going through his mind while he was waiting. Because now, look at this. Here we are, verse 35. And while he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house. Here's the ruler of the synagogue, right from his house, who said to Jairus, your daughter, this is verse 35, your daughter has died. Woo, what a report, what a bad report. Look here now, this is a bad report. Your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Oh my gosh. Verse 36, listen at the importance of this. Overhearing, but ignoring. Oh my goodness, here's another key to your faith. There's some things you can't help from hearing when the doctors tell you certain things.
Right.
But you can choose to ignore and just hear what God says about you.
Yeah.
Well, you know you got this, and it runs through your family, it's in your hormones, it's going to naturally, you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. No, I'm not. Jesus didn't say that to me. The Word of God supersedes a family lineage and a family. Oh, come on now. Come on. You got a new bloodline, a new DNA when you got Christ in you. Glory to God.
Yes.
Come on now. So overhearing but ignoring, very important. This ruler of the synagogue now. He's standing right there. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. He knew, Jesus knew immediately what he would be dealing with. Fear, because of what he overheard concerning with the report they just came back with to about his daughter. He said, don't be, look, there are times when you might get a report and it produces fear in you. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that fear, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Right.
That means that you can resist fear,
yes,
rebuke fear, and command fear to go.
Yes.
I refuse to be in fear in Jesus' name. I rebuke fear in the name
yes.
of Jesus. I refuse to be in fear about this situation or that report. I have a spirit of faith. I believe
Amen.
God. It shall be even as it was told me. Come on now. Just like Paul when he said, cheer up, men, for I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Acts 27. Acts 27, 25, and then Paul again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed. Not trying to believe. In whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which I've entrusted to him. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. So here comes this bad report, but Jesus tells them, do not fear. You know, Isaiah 41, let me go there real quick. Isaiah 41, verse 10. This is a real good one about fear that you can turn in your Bible to when it tries to bother you or torment you. Isaiah 41 in verse 10. Amplified version. It says, fear not. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you. How great is that alone right there? God says, don't fear. I'm with you. I'm with you. Your creator. The one who made you knows everything about you. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not look around in terror and be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to this difficulty. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my what? Victorious right hand. Woo, glory to God. That's enough to... He said, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious... He didn't say defeated right hand, did he? No, he said victorious right hand. Of rightness and justice. Verse 11, behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing. Say nothing. They shall be as nothing and they shall perish. Come on now. And the enemy tries to bring fear. You just have to pull your Bible open and say, listen to this one, devil. Woo, God is with me. God is for me. God is in me. He told me to not fear. I choose right now to not fear. He's working this out. Glory to God, because I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Then we go back to Mark 5. So here comes Jairus. He got that bad report. But Jesus is helping him. Get it out right. Helping him. So he told him to what? Don't be fearful. Don't be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Keep on. Keep on believing. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John. Oh, the brother of James. Verse 38, and when they arrived at the house of the ruler. So it took a little while to get to the house of the ruler. He looked, when they arrived at the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked carefully with understanding at the tumult and the people weeping and wailing loudly. Verse 39, and when he had gone in, he said to them, why do you make an uproar and weep? The little girl is not dead, but is sleeping. It was the sleep of death. Verse 40, and they laughed and jeered at him, but he put them all out. What did he do? He put them all out. Why? Because they were in doubt and unbelief. He got rid of the doubt and unbelief. He brought Peter, James, and John with him in there, the two parents in there. Taking the child's father and mother and those who were with him, he went in to where the little girl was lying. Now remember, she just died. Verse 41, gripping her by the hand. So he did something and he spoke something. In this case, gripping her firmly by the hand, he said to her, Talitha Kuma, which translated is little girl, I say to you, arise from the sleep of death. Woo! That was a command of faith that came out of Jesus' mouth, and there was a touch with his hand. He grabbed her by the hand. So there was a touch and a word spoken. A lot of times we see Jesus just spoke a command of faith and things happen. Yep. But in this instance, he touched her hand, gripped her hand, and he spoke, said something. He commanded something to happen. What? For her to rise up from death. Yeah. And verse 42, instantly, here we go, instantly the girl got up, started walking around. She got right up and started walking around right in the midst of all of them. She was only 12 years old, and they were utterly astonished and overcome with amazement. And then we see that he told them to give her something to eat because eating helps connect your body back to your inward man, the spirit man. So Jairus didn't get a good report. But he didn't quit, he didn't give up, he didn't allow the woman with the issue of blood to say, well, this is a fine opportunity, I'm just going to turn in today, and what will be, will be. Nope. He hung in there. He stayed right in there. Yep. He stayed close to Jesus, his answer. Yep. So what's the takeaway, Pastor Debbie, from all three of these? Jesus defeated demons, he defeated disease, and he defeated death. All three of them, he defeated. Every single one of these cases and instances, the people did something with their faith. They heard, every one of them heard about Jesus, and they decided that that was going to be their final answer, what Jesus said. Live and not die. You shall live and not die. Psalms 118, verse 17. I shall live and not die, declare the mighty works of God. They decided, put their faith in what Jesus, what they had heard about Jesus, and they each did something. Even in their moment of crisis, each one of them did something, and it what? Brought about their healing, or brought about the raising from the dead, or brought about their freedom and deliverance. Yeah. Every one of these instances, they believed on whom they heard about, Jesus. Yeah. Just like you and I have opportunity every single day to choose to believe on what Jesus has said and let that be your final answer. You have to settle it for yourself that what he said is going to be your final answer. Your primary focus, not your secondary focus. Your God factor. It's what God has said. Not about the feelings, the reports, but it's about the report of the Lord. So every single one of these produced freedom, deliverance, healing, and it rose people from the dead. And then what did Jesus say? Well, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. What does he say? Be imitators of God. Be imitators. He told us, what, Pastor Dave, I can't imitate God. The Bible says you can. Imitate him in what? In his faith when he was here on the earth. Imitate his faith like he had when he was here on the earth. Because why? You have the same God kind of faith deposited on the inside of you. You are capable of doing exactly what each one of these people did. You can cast out devils. You can exercise authority over sickness and disease. You can go and raise the dead. He said, go and do likewise. That's what he said. Imitate. What did he tell us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 17? Yes. The believing ones. These signs will accompany the believing ones. If you're not believing, then don't expect anything. No. It's the believing ones. Go and do likewise. It's the believing ones that shall cast out devils in his name, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Exercise authority and dominion over the devil. You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. All of that is the works of the enemy. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell you to do something if he didn't provide the means by which you could do it. He's given you everything you need by which you can do each one of those. He has. It's just what? Upping our faith. Developing my faith, exercising our faith, using our faith. It's like he said, Paul said in Thessalonians, are you developing your faith where it becomes exceedingly great, growing faith? Great faith. Great faith is what? To believe on the word that Jesus has spoken. Receive it as your very own. Take it. I take it right now. It's mine in Jesus' name. God's highest and God's best is for you to hear the word of God, believe that word, receive that word as your very own, and then act on it. That's his highest and his best. But he loves us so much, he's got seven methods by which he wants to get that healing to us. So the takeaway is, hear, you've heard. Jesus is still doing the same thing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Still doing it. Same thing. Healing, delivering, raising people from the dead. Jesus said this in John 14:12. Those that believe on me shall do the works that I do, and even greater works than these shall they do. So today, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Next week we'll start going in another direction. We just ended the series today on the three D's: demons, disease, and death. No fear. Jesus is right here. So today, hallelujah, we're going to make a faith declaration together. Let's say this together. Father God, in Jesus' name, I believe I am The healed of the Lord.
The
redeemed of the Lord.
And I say so.
I believe
I have
mountain-removing faith.
Sickness and disease dissolving faith.
World overcoming faith.
I believe
and I receive
my healing
for my physical body.
In Jesus' name.
Sickness,
disease,
you go from me.
You have no place in me.
No power over me.
In Jesus' name,
I command you,
leave my body now.
And I thank you, Lord,
according to your word.
You sent your word
and healed me
and delivered me
from all my destruction.
I believe it.
I receive it.
I take it.
It's mine
right now
in Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah.
And just release your faith.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name.
Thank you, Lord God.
Glory, glory, glory.
He's faithful,
and we're grateful.
Something about keeping that heart of gratitude.
Attitude of gratitude.
Thanking him all the time.
What he's already done and provided
for your success right here and right now to walk in divine health.
Don't be moved.
Don't be moved.
Don't be moved.
Don't be moved
by what it feels like or looks like.
All of that has to come into line.
If you believe with your heart and you say so,
continue to say so.
Hallelujah.
Now, if there's somebody in here this morning
that you would like to have hands laid on them,